open a subcommittee of the House Water Committee this 25th of April, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2265. And I'd like, do you need a copy of the bill? Dash twos and threes. And the original bill was... Or dash two, ones and two. And could I have both Mr. Lilly and Brendan, and we'd like a little, try to clarify or try to get an idea of what it is we're doing and trying to do with this bill. And there are a couple of things going on that admittedly the chair doesn't understand, but then that's not terribly unusual, so we'll see if we can get a clarification of it.
I think we made dash threes. Okay.
Mr. Lilly.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Lilly, Assistant Director with the Department of State Lands. We're here today to talk about amendments to House Bill 2265, and with your dash threes? Okay.
Do you need both the dash ones and twos to know where we're at?
No, sir, thank you. I have the dash twos, and I'm familiar with those. The dash twos were made available to us last Wednesday. And in going over the dash twos, I found two areas of concern. They're not great matters of concern, but I did want to bring them to the attention of the chair and to the committee. On page 31 of the dash twos, and running on to page 32, line 17.
Starting on line 24. All right, and continuing through page or line 17 of page 32.
That's correct, sir.
Okay.
That language we intended to be to remain in the statute unchanged. Deleted, if I read that correctly, sir.
That's true. It is currently being deleted.
Similarly, in the next section, starting on page 36, going on to page 37, similar language appears because of the need to conform the statute with the chapter law that deals with the possible assumption of Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. Again, we would ask that this language, rather than be deleted, that this language be restored to the current statutory language as shown.
Mr. Lilly, if we go to the original House Bill 2130, which this is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what was the language in 2130 in relationship to your restoration of this? Was that deleted in 2130 originally?
Mr. Chair, Brendan McCarthy from Legislative Council. Part of the confusion here might stem from the fact that in amending House Bill 2265 with House Bill 2130, I called in some similar language from Senate Bill 170 from this session, which did delete those definition sections of subsection 11 and 196.825, and that may be where this whole mistake has generated. There were several differences between the language in Senate Bill 170 and the language in House Bill 2130. We did fix a couple of those differences in the dash twos, but apparently we didn't catch all of the differences. So I think that's at least part of the problem.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Mr. Lilly.
On page 7 of House Bill 2130, you'll see that it proposes, beginning on line 31, to delete language referring to what makes up or the kinds of information that goes into a written application. In the current statute in ORS 196.825, there's also language that describes in detail what goes into a written application for an individual removal fill permit. It is that language that's currently in 196.825 that we're asking to be restored in House Bill 2265. And my apologies for the confusion.
Okay. Following where he's at, Brendan?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Okay.
And then finally, Mr. Chair, one other item on page 37 of the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2265, Section 19.
Mm-hmm.
This is a reference to ORS 196.840. Which the chair has amended House Bill 2130 to include a repeal of this section. And the department's suggestion here is that we remove Section 19 from the House Bill 2265 entirely.
All right. That answers one of the questions I had then with it, which was the issue of having 196.840 listed in the above at the very beginning on line 3 at the beginning of the dash 2 or dash 1 amendment. So we're going to delete section 19 in its entirety. Brendan?
Mr. Chair, Brendan McCarthy again. It would be my suggestion that we actually leave Section 19 in, and the problem being that there is no guarantee that the bill which repeals 196.840 is going to pass both houses and be signed by the governor. If it does not pass, the fact that we did not amend the subsection reference here in this section would cause a problem.
So we would delete that in the next session if the preceding amendment to the other bill pass and are signed by the governor.
If the repeal of 196.840 does pass and is signed by the governor, it will present no conflict with the fact that we've amended a subsection reference here. If we do not amend the subsection reference here and the bill does not pass, repealing it, it will create a conflict. And it would just be one more section we'd have to add to the revisor's bill next session. So we can avoid that problem.
You're
now.
Comfortable with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can we get this cleaned up by the next time we meet?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
We're willing to do so.
With that, we will close the work session then on this. Thank you, Brendan, for coming up.
Thanks, Brendan.
And, this bill will be carried over to the Wednesday session.
That's 2265.
That is 2265. Now, if we can add to our confusion a little bit that we've had here, we will open a work session on House Bill 2130. And would you help us from getting any further astray than we already are, Sandy, and tell us what's going on with this bill?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2130 You should have from our Wednesday meeting, I'm not going to read to you what the bill does because that's no longer what the bill does. We have a dash three amendment that we reviewed on April the 20th, last Wednesday. Okay, I'm hoping everybody has that. At that time, we were receiving testimony from Jim McCauley of DEQ and Representative Gordon Anderson. They were, this amendment replaces 2130 to establish a schedule of fees for permits in lieu of any fee established under a fee schedule for persons who operate a suction dredge having a suction hose with an inside diameter of 8 inches or less, shall upon application for or renewal of a permit issued under ORS 468B050 to be paid to the Department of Environmental Quality. It outlines the fee schedule. The department is here if the committee had additional questions. Representative Anderson is in the audience. He snuck in and I didn't see him. So at that point, if I recollect, most of the discussion on the amendments were complete, but if the committee so chooses, we do have folks here that can bring us back up to speed.
Okay, let me review just a little bit more, if my memory is correct here, Sandy. This is the classic illustration of a gut and stuff, is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
And the part that was gutted was the part that's gone over, proposing to go over to House Bill 2265, and that which is being stuffed is the repeal of ORS 196-840, which was part of what 2265 originally. So if this seems confusing, it isn't really. And then after that, because of the appropriate, that section one of the dash three amendments is the repeal of 196-840, and you will recall, members, that that's a archaic ORS that while we recognize we're committing a heresy by repealing a statute and saving paper or whatever it is, we're going to try to do it anyway, or hope to try to do it anyway. And then section 2, 3, and 4 and the remainder of two sections, 2, 3, and 4, then are another agenda item which Representative Anderson has been working with a group of miners to try to come with a solution that they can agree on. And if I could impose on Representative Anderson, if you would perhaps give us the most recent updates of what you know about this and the department, if you'd come up to, Jim.
I think Mr. McCauley is probably the gentleman who wished to speak. As State Representative Gordon Anderson from District 3, and thank you for hearing this and working it. I come to you mainly as a facilitator for as many of the different groups throughout the state and I guess outside the state. As I testified last Wednesday, I feel that we've come to a point where we've got a general agreement from many of the groups and all the testimony that's come in written form comments that the department came and suggested that in the time pressures that we have to get the miners into the rivers this summer, that going by legislation in the fee schedule would be better than trying to do it by rule. As I understand it, there's an application fee for, well, let me start in reverse. There's a $25 fee for a license to do mining in and around the creeks and streams and rivers of the state. If the if there's a requirement for exceedance above and beyond, I believe it's 4 inches in dredge hose or nozzle, and there is just there are some questions on that, then there would be a $300 application fee that could give the ability for anyone that's working with greater than the 4 inch the ability to still be in the river. That's the extent of my testimony, I think, last week, and Mr. McCauley probably can expand on that.
Yes. For record, Jim McCauley, DEQ, Chair Jensen, the rest of the committee members. The way we've got this, or the way the language in this these proposed amendments stands at this time, is we'll have the ability to, again, assess a fee of $25 for general permits, or $100 over if they wanted a five-year type of permit instead of paying annually, essentially giving them a $25 break. Those individuals or operators that seek to get an individual permit, and the trigger point on that is perhaps a little bit complicated. It's not so much the size of the dredge opening that would trigger that. That would really involve also whether or not they felt that they needed to have an exceedance allowance, essentially allowing them a certain amount of distance below the dredge. For some of these larger operations, and it would require us to go into an individual permit, require the agency to go through a little bit more detail on how we physically permit, and that's where we expect or where we've essentially come up with a $300 fee. So at the end of the day, we would only anticipate very few applications or very few applicants going through an individual type permit. We think most everybody else is going to be covered by the general at this time.
Are there questions from either Representative Tomei?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Jim, I see the current fees paid for less than 12 to 15% of the costs of the removal fill program. So what would the fees have to be in order to cover the full costs of the program?
Chair Jensen, Representative Tomei, we actually did not assess that amount of fee to try to figure out, to try to cover the entire dredge and fill program.
This is not on the amendment? That's the background on the previous bill. Cross that out. So, if I can follow up on that, Mr. Chair.
Please.
So, is there anything that's taken from the Common School Fund to help fund this process?
Chair Jensen, Representative Tomei, the dredge and fill program in total for DEQs, our certification process, our entire permitting process and things of that nature, is a combination of both fees and some general fund allocations. I am not aware if we get any physical dollars from the Common School Fund, and in fact, I don't think we do, but I can certainly check on that.
If you do, would you let me know? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Crummell.
Mr. Chair, I would move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2130.
Representative Crummell moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2130. Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Crummell.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2130 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means by subsequent referral.
Representative Crummell moves House Bill 2130 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation to the referral. Subsequent referral.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I asked a lot of questions at our last hearing about the whole business of adopting what amounts to fees in the statute. I still think it's a bad practice to do it. I understand why they're asking for it. I also understand it reduces, ironically, strangely, because of the way our rules work, reduces the workload of the department to do it this way. I'm going to vote to send the bill to the floor. I don't know how I'm going to feel on the day that we actually vote to the other committee. If it comes to the floor, I'm not sure I'm going to actually vote on it on the floor because of that other issue. I do realize that in order to get out of the very peculiar situation that we're in around fees established by agencies, that it really requires a larger and different conversation than the one that's embodied in this bill.
Appreciated.
Mr. Chair, I will be voting to send this bill to Ways and Means. I share some of Representative Barnhart's concerns, and certainly if I find that this is going to be affecting the Common School Fund, I may have a different vote on the floor.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I do have one question that just kind of popped into my mind.
Sure.
Since the minors are actually going to pay a fee, could we put any of them up on the Columbia River and see if they could take about 3 feet off of it?
Down at the mouth?
Pardon?
Down at the mouth?
Yeah, well, down at the mouth and kind of that 140-mile stretch all the way up to Portland. I'm just kind of thinking that, you know, the Corps of Engineers is having a tough time getting her done, maybe.
And let them do it.
That's right.
Gosh, that'd be a great idea.
It may take slightly larger than a 4-inch bike, however.
I wonder how many 9-inch dredgers they would wear out trying to get 3 feet out of the Willamette for 140 miles.
I don't know whether we got enough miners, Representative.
May not. Of course, so in the time that it would take them, we may still, you know,
we'd probably be ahead of the game.
We probably would be ahead of the game. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Could you call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Dalto?
Aye.
Representative
Clement?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Dean Foley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cromwell?
Aye.
Chair Jensen?
Aye.
House Bill 21. 30, having received a majority vote, is passed and will go to the House or to the Committee on Ways and Means. With that, we can close the public hearing on House Bill 2130, and we have another work session. We'll open on House Bill 2875. And Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 2875, we had a public hearing on the 11th of April. This was allowing a district with a manager to change the point of diversion if an emergency prevents the district from diverting water from an authorized point of diversion. We have no amendments on the bill, and the bill is before the committee for whatever action they so desire.
And we heard this bill when, Sandy?
On April 11th, Mr. Chair, we heard from Oregon Water Resources Department, the Oregon Water Resource Congress, and Water Watch at that time. Discussion at that time, also, there were questions about who was going to define an emergency, how was that going to be assessed. If there were, and there is no current definition of an emergency, and we heard from one of the water districts a recent.
Nobody submitted an amendment to us to define emergency?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I have a question about this as well.
Yes.
There was also a concern raised by Water Watch about the having ODF&W. Make the call out of fish, I think it was fish screening,
right,
on a diversion, and I wanted to know what the status of that was, if there was any resolution of that issue, or if maybe we can have Adam talk about how they make that decision.
I see we have both the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Adam here. We'll start out with Adam and see if that's sufficient. If not, we'll maybe go on from there.
Good afternoon. For the record, Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department. And I think to both of those points, it seemed to me in the testimony that I felt that they had at least felt like they were resolved the first question that I think Representative Barnhart asked was what does emergency mean and where is it defined in statute? And we talked about that would be part of the department's rulemaking effort to implement this statute, would be to work with the stakeholders to create a definition of emergency. And then the second part we talked about was that my recollection is that the bill does require fish screening, but it doesn't address fish passage. And I talked about how the Department of Fish and Wildlife has a separate and distinct authority to require fish passage. And given the very small numbers of these emergencies that we're likely to see, it seemed appropriate that we would have some sort of notification process with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to ensure that they were working hand in hand with the district as they created the new emergency point of diversion, and thought we could resolve those two issues in that manner.
Adam, would that be part of the rules that you drop in relationship to this bill if it is passed?
Mr. Chair, I would commit that would be part of the rulemaking. We would define emergency and also ensure that we've got the Department of Fish and Wildlife in the loop in the process, yes.
Roy, is this something you do or have familiarity with?
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, probably as far as questions on to this bill exactly, I know Anita Winkler talked to me and I referred her to Ray Harderode of our fish screening and passage
for the record.
Program leader. For the record, my name is Roy Elliker, Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And Mr. Chair, I would probably ask to have Anita Winkler come up and talk to this point, because she went ahead and did talk to our fish screening and passage project leaders as to our point. But I know generally on these emergency sites of transfers, we work closely with water resources and the applicant to find a solution to allow them to get their water, and then very quickly, if necessary, also put in some fish screening or passage protections. So I don't believe we have any hard and fast rules other than we work closely in an emergency situation like this.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Dankfelder.
Thank you. Just to follow up to your point, Mr. Chair, I think I would feel more comfortable if it was in the rule that said that the Water Resources Department shall consult with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And again, I'm assuming that you probably have engineers, Roy, that are going to review the design of, you know, whatever project's being built to make sure there's adequate fish passage. But by just having it in the rules, saying that, you know, Water Resources Department is going to consult with ODFMW to ensure adequate fish passage, fish screening, whatever, I think wouldn't be a bad thing.
Chair Jensen, Representative Dinkfelder, yeah, the department would appreciate that. And if we have that in rulemaking, I think that happens anyway, but if you feel more comfortable if it's in rule, that'd be fine. The department could still take that as well.
Mr. Chair, again, Adam Sussman, I just want to clarify that I think the way I would understand this working is that if we were to receive a emergency authorization, if you will, that it would be at that point that we would engage with ODFW, and they would be the one actually consulting with the water user, if you will, to ensure that adequate passage is provided. So I just wanted to make that clear, that they'd be consulting with the applicant, we'd be notifying the other agency.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, please, Anita.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, Anita Winkler, Oregon Water Resources Congress. I think Adam very eloquently stated exactly the way it works right now under all sorts of temporary transfers for the districts. As you may recall, this was an addition to existing statute that allows certain kinds of temporary transfers. Those existing rules already require a consultation with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So we fully expected that consultation would be in place for this. Farmers Irrigation District, who you heard from at the hearing, in fact has nothing but high praise for the Department of Fish and Wildlife for the help that they gave them in addressing this emergency. So, again, we would fully expect to have the Department of Fish and Wildlife be the experts helping the districts, not Water Resources Department.
So, basically, if I am concluding correctly, then you're comfortable with the testimony that you've heard here, and you're okay with the bill under those circumstances?
Chair Jensen, yes, we are.
Are there other questions? I entertain a motion to.
Mr. Chair, is it going to the floor?
Representative Crummel.
Question, does it, it's going to the floor, it doesn't have a substitute?
That's correct. The floor.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2875 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Crummel moves House Bill 2875 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative
Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Salto?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dean Felder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crummel?
Aye.
Chair Jensen?
Aye. House Bill 2875, having received a majority vote, will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the Chair would entertain a motion for or a recommendation for the consent calendar.
So moved.
Representative Tomei moves for the consent to put House Bill 2875 on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2875. And at this point, we are going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 179. And do we have people here to speak to 179?
And thank you, Mr. Chair. We're all the department's coming up. Just to give you a little background, this allows the Water Resources Department to adopt rules reducing fees for persons that submit materials to the department in an approved digital format. This came over from the Senate side with 26 ayes, 2 noes, and this does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Sandy. It didn't go to Ways and Means prior to or on the Senate side?
No, Mr. Vice Chair, it did not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Adam. You want to go ahead and give us a little further rundown on this?
I will. Thank you, Vice Chair Crummel and members of the committee. And thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 179. And this is a measure that was pre-session filed by the governor on behalf of the department. And it's also co-branded, as they've called it, with the Office of Regulatory Streamlining. And I do want to address this issue about the referral to Ways and Means. And, in fact, in my testimony, in my written testimony, I wanted to make it very clear that the passage of Senate Bill 179 would have a minimal impact on the department's budget, and in fact has been anticipated in the governor's recommended budget for the department, and therefore the department is going to respectfully request that the committee request that the speaker remove the referral to Ways and Means prior to working the bill. There was no referral to Ways and Means on the Senate side, but I think there was a perception when it got to the Speaker's office that there should be. So having moved through that, let me tell you what this bill is about. The department is always looking for ways to expedite our process and to reduce paperwork. And in 2003, we had a fee bill, a pretty extensive fee bill, and one of the things we did in that fee bill was reduced fees for certain types of water right transfers that are submitted in a digital format. And when I say digital format, that doesn't mean it has to come over the internet. It could simply be on a CD or a disc handed to the department. And as you can imagine, if you were to get a water right transfer that slightly modified 12,000 acres within a large irrigation district, for example, if you get that on paper and you have to keystroke in all of those changes, you can imagine the tremendous amount of time that takes, as well as the opportunity to make mistakes when you're doing that. So really having this stuff sent in a digital format is a huge time-saving device. What this measure does, Senate Bill 179, is it expands that opportunity to provide incentives by giving the Water Resources Commission the authority to reduce fees by rule. So as we see opportunities where we can provide incentives for folks to submit things to us in a digital format. The commission can go through a public rulemaking process and actually provide a little incentive by reducing the fees. And as an example, the current incentive in the statute, when a district or a large irrigator is making this kind of water right transfer, if you just give it to us on paper, there's a flat fee plus $1 per acre. If you give it to us in a digital format, it's a flat fee and 25 cents per acre. And if you're talking about several thousand acres, there's a savings to the water user, and there's also a tremendous time saving for the department. So that's really, in a nutshell, what this bill does. It provides us the opportunity to give people incentives to help us streamline the process and to move faster. And as Sandy said, it moved handily through the Senate. We don't know of any opposition to the bill, and look for your favorable approval of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Barnhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How would the department go about figuring out the amount of the reduced fees?
Well, Vice Chair Crummell and Representative Barnhart, I mean, that's a great question. When we did it from the dollar to the 25 cents that I described, you know, I don't know that we can dial it in to the cent and tell you this is how much time we save, therefore this is the savings we'll pass on. To the extent that we can get close to doing that, we will try to do that and try to anticipate what kind of savings. I think what we would be looking for is a way to ensure that the program continues to be funded adequately, at the same time providing some incentive to the water user.
Follow up, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. Now, the fees that we're talking about here, these are all fees for the purpose of allowing the department funds to process various applications, including doing the investigations that are needed to determine whether to approve them or not, or do they also provide resources for something else?
Vice Chair Crummell and Representative Barnhart, for the most part, the fees that you'll see here in the list of our statutory fees are mostly for, you know, evaluating and approving applications. There is another provision, I believe it's on, it looks like it's on page 4 of the bill. There's also a fee associated with what we refer to as a start card, which is the notification that a well is going to be constructed. And those monies are used to support the department's well inspection program. But again, we receive over 12,000 start cards by paper through the mail and through the fax each year. And if we could work with the drilling community and come up with an incentive to provide those digitally, the savings to the department and the savings to the drilling community will be huge. So that's another area that we're hoping to provide some incentive to submit things in a digital format.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Any further questions? Representative Dinkfelder?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Adam, a couple questions. One, House Bill 2268 that passed last session. Could you tell me, do you have off the top of your head the figures on how that affected you financially and how many people did take advantage of that option?
Vice Chair Crummell, Representative Dinkfelder, do you mean taking advantage of the reduced savings? And the reduced fee by, I can't tell you the dollar figure off the top of my head, but I can tell you that we've had about 8 water right transfers, mostly by large water users such as an irrigation district, that have submitted, you know, what we call these annual water right transfers that include thousands of acres, and they have submitted them in a digital format. And if it came in a paper format, the paper would be, you know, a couple inches thick that someone would have to go through. And the advantage of getting it in a digital format is not only do you risk, you know, making mistakes as you're typing it in, you can actually take that information and run it through a program, and it actually creates the order, the approval order that the department needs to make, and just saves us hours worth of time. And I'd be happy to follow up with you if you want to know the dollar figure in terms of the reduced fee.
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, and I absolutely support, you know, having information submitted in digital format for the reasons you've just enumerated. It saves the staff time, and it also reduces the amount of probably mistakes or entries in data, especially when you're talking about large tables and spreadsheets. However, I want to make sure that we are able to, in other words, are we actually offsetting, you know, the work by a substantial amount? Because the one thing I am concerned about, and it's not saying that I wouldn't support this proposal, but the fact is, sitting on the in the Ways and Means Natural Resources Committee, as you well know, your budget proposal is to cut 7.5 FTE. And so I have a concern about what kind of message we're sending, that certainly want to provide incentives to submit information in a more user-friendly, you know, for the department form. However, we want to make sure that we're adequately funding the staff to do the job that needs to be done. And three of the positions, my understanding, is in the Water Rights Division. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that's the concern that I will raise, because certainly if we were going to augment, make sure that your budget is going to be held whole, and, you know, but we need to be looking at other ways then to offset any loss of revenue we're going to have in the department, because I certainly do not support the cuts. I think it's really going to hurt your program and the progress that you've made to date. So I just raised that more as an issue of concern while we're talking about the impact on revenues. I'm a little surprised it's not going on to the Ways and Means Committee because of the discussion that's going on with your budget currently in the Ways and Means Natural Resources. So I will just raise that issue for the committee to ponder.
Okay, thank you. Representative Barnhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dingfelder raised most of the issues I was trying to get at with my questions. I'm a strong supporter of streamlining, especially in this in these fashions. I really like the, for example, the DMV system for renewing your auto registration online. I've used it. It works. It's great. I don't think it cost me any less money than I would have paid had I done it by mail. I believe the fees are the same. Maybe I do have a couple more questions, if I may, that's on this line, so I can follow. Do you have a complicated format that you're expecting to have these electronic submissions in, or could the person use a standard word processor or something like that and send it to you by email as an attachment?
Vice Chair Crummell, Representative Barnhart, both. In fact, for the irrigation districts, we have kind of an electronic application, if you will, that's sort of customized so that it can calculate and do lots of the complicated things that we need to do. But again, anyone could fill out that application with a word processor, and then if they wanted to have the mapping side, would probably need some sort of geographic information system. But again, that's a much more complicated big time water user. But we see this as an opportunity to look for opportunities to provide incentives for streamlining, and it may be something as simple as providing a very simple water right application in a digital format to the department. And I want to emphasize that we are very aware of the points that Representative Dingfelder makes, and, you know, to use the, you know, the saying, we're not going to cut off our nose to spite our face. We understand that we have just barely enough resources to get the job done, but the reduction in revenue is minuscule compared to the savings in time and efficiency for the department, and as well as an opportunity to provide service to the water users of the state. So instead of having to wait around for 6 months or a year to get an approval from the department, which may be halting economic activity or environmental restoration, we could turn around with an answer in a quick fashion. So that's why we think it's a good idea.
Well, Representative Barnhart, thank you. And you know, I'm wondering, if it has all that going for it, why anybody needs a reduction in fees in order to do it. I mean, I'm an applicant. I'm going to submit my material in electronic format because I don't want you screwing up the application by mistyping it.
Right.
I'm going to submit it in electronic format because I want to save the 6 months on your response.
Right.
I mean, aren't those sufficient incentives for me to do that?
Vice Chair Crummell and Representative Barnhart, I don't disagree. It should be, but our experience has been that it has not been that easy to get our customers to submit things in a digital format. We've worked really hard with the well drilling community as an example, and just haven't been able to get there. So we've been successful with some of the larger, more sophisticated applicants, but we felt it was appropriate to give a small incentive to get people there.
Follow up? Thank you. When you're talking about a well drilling application, what are we talking about? In terms of what's small?
Well, Representative Crummell and Representative Barnhart, what I meant by we've been working with the drilling community.
Yeah.
Again, whenever whenever we're going to commence construction on a well, the driller needs to send a notice to the department telling us approximately where and what and how, and there's actually a fee associated with that. So that's the application I was referring to. Application, what I meant is a computer application to receive that information in a digital format.
Right, and my question was, what's small when it comes to the fee change?
Oh, you know, that's a Representative Crummell, Representative Barnhart. I don't have a number because obviously that has to go through a public rulemaking process and involves the Water Resources Commission, so I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to guess what that number would be.
Thank you. Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions for Adam? All right. I was going to ask, that would be fine.
Thank you.
Where are you, Anita? Come on up. Thanks, Adam. Don't go too far away.
He never does. He's chained to this room.
Vice Chair Crummell and members of the committee, I'm not going to let him get very far away. I'll put a leash on him on this one. I just wanted to maybe illuminate a little bit what happened that led to this bill, and it was a couple of our districts who originally raised the issue. They invest, and if I thought about it, I'd have called a couple of them. It's thousands to tens of thousands of dollars to develop the information because of the massive amount of mapping. The application form itself isn't a big deal, but it's the massive amount of other data that creates the stacks and stacks and stacks. So the thought was, basically what we do is we shift that responsibility from the department to the applicant. And in so doing, it seemed fair to get some reduction in the fee because the applicant was taking on the burden. So I hope that helps explain it a little bit. And I'd be glad, if it would help you, I'd be glad to try and bring in some of the stuff. I'd have to bring somebody to explain it because I don't get it. It's far beyond my ability to manage it or understand it.
Representative Barnhart, thank you. One question. So as you understand it, there is, instead of the electronic format being an intermediate step toward paper, the paper format comes first, and then the applicant would have to turn it into an electronic format in some way? I mean, let me try it a different way. When I write something that I'm going to publish, it goes in the computer first. So I have the electronic format already done. Submitting it electronically is easy. Transferring it to paper is one more step and costs me more. I take it that what you're saying is that with the state of the art in this mapping process, that it's the other way around in that setting.
Vice Chair Crummell, Representative Barnhart. Districts have the data right now in paper format. It's not totally accurate all the time because there's always water changes or transfers going on, so they try and keep it updated. What they're doing as they submit these applications is bringing everything absolutely current in the digital format. They don't necessarily bring it current on paper anymore. So they're able, at the district level, the districts who've done this, their water rights information for their water users is now online, and they can come in. If somebody doesn't have access to a computer, they can come in the office and get it. But they're moving away from maintaining the maps in paper format. So they're in the process of doing the conversion and incurring the cost before they get it to the department. What happens then is that our district knows that what they submitted to the department and what the department has on record match, which is a good thing for all of us at this point. It doesn't necessarily happen in the paper exchange.
Right. Thank you. I think that answers my question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I guess one point that I would just try to make is that Adam alluded to, for example, if you had a 12,000-acre transfer or property that was being transferred, and if it's a dollar an acre, that's a fee of $12,000. But if everything is already done on the computer, and the applicant brings it in digital format, which then, as Adam mentioned, the department then just puts into their system, and now it automatically even kicks out the order. So basically, all staff has to do is proof the order to make sure that all of the areas are covered. But they don't have to take the time to sit there and do it. But if you get it, so now instead of charging the district or the applicant $12,000, you're only going to charge them $3,000. But there hasn't been as much staff time involved. And there hasn't been, and it's actually probably been more accurate than somebody keystroking it everything in. So there really is a savings on both sides, both to the department as well as to the applicant. So why not pass that savings on to the applicant? I think that's what I sort of hear you saying.
Representative Krumhoff, if I could just add, you know, this opportunity is in statute right now for a particular kind of transaction. And I don't think I made it clear that without this authority that we're requesting in this bill, each time we found a new transaction that would be a good opportunity, we'd have to come in and do a bill and go into that part of the statute. And what we found was, I think it was for, you know, temporary transfers, but then we found, well, boy, this makes a lot of sense for this kind of permanent transfer as well. And so what we want to do is give the commission the authority as when those opportunities arise, they could go into a public rulemaking without having to go into our fee bill, our fee portion of the statute each session.
All right. Okay. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, your comment, I think, is absolutely right on, and that was the genesis of my very first question, my second question, which had to do with where the funds were going to be spent, because in the case of the motor vehicle department example I used, the funds are go not only to the operation of the motor vehicle department but also to the highway system. So every penny they save on processing costs improves the highways. To the extent that anything like that is happening here, the additional $9,000 that you're talking about, if it were saved at the department level, could be used for other parts of their operations. So, I mean, your point is absolutely right on, I think. But the question then is, where should the $9,000 go? Should it all go back to the applicant? Should it go in some other way? And I think that was the genesis of my question. And if in fact, and sort of to complete the thought, if in fact the entire amount of the fee is used to process the application, then reducing the fee to what the new cost of processing the application is makes perfectly good sense.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Pat, if you want to say anything, you're certainly welcome to, but does anybody have any questions for the Office of Streamlining? Mr. Allen is here. Don't feel obligated, though.
I'll be quick. Patrick Allen with the Office of Regulatory Streamlining. I guess I would just quickly observe that in talking about streamlining projects for about the last 2 years and talking to legislators about agency efforts to take things electronic and those kinds of things, until today, without exception, the question has always been, and are you going to reduce the fees because of all that saved time and effort and work? About a year and a half ago, we did an extensive business climate survey of Oregon businesses and found more than how fast things were processed or how clear regulations were or anything else, fees and charges were the number one area of concern amongst those trying to comply with regulations. And so that helped lead us to want to co-request this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 179, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 410. And Sandy, do you want to give us a little rundown about this bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 410 is repealing the sunset on a pilot program for collection, recycling, and disposal of fishing tackle. It expands the program from Six Rivers to a statewide program, and it directs the Department of Fish and Wildlife to publicize for the program. This comes to us, obviously, from the Senate side with a 25-aye vote, 4 excused, and 1 was excused for legislative business. It does not appear to have had any controversy on that side, but I cannot be sure.
Well, we might be able to create one over here.
That's right.
Let's give it a shot, shall we? Let me have Roy Elliker and...
and Frank. Co-worker.
Is that,
I can't read your name.
Kent?
Ryan.
Ryan?
Ryan
Messner. Ryan.
Ryan Messner.
Ryan. Okay, Ryan. Oh, Ryan, just like the river.
Yes,
it's pretty appropriate that you'd be in water. Okay, I know it was a stretch.
Bad line.
Good morning. Yeah, good afternoon.
The day's still young. We could make it morning if you want.
Vice Chair Crummell, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Roy Elker, Deputy Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. On my left, Mr. Ryan Messner, our Recreational Fisheries Program Leader. And I did want to direct your attention here on my right to what is essentially this set of PVC pipe and sign, and that's essentially the program we're talking about right now, of taking that from a pilot program starting in 2000 that was started last year and making it permanent through this bill. I'm sorry that Senator Atkinson is not here today to introduce this bill properly. He was the prime proponent of the pilot program and is the prime proponent of making this permanent. And he has started a very positive program for the department. Let me kind of cover some prepared remarks, and then we'll let Ryan talk about some of the details. In front of you, you have, of course, our report for this year of the pilot program, our legislative report on SB 748 from 2004, which we just submitted a month ago to the legislature. And now, speaking from my prepared remarks, and I do thank the committee for the opportunity to come here today. This bill created, or 748 created last session, a very successful pilot program that has a lot of volunteer interest and was essentially implemented for under $5,000. That's speaking to the pilot program. The pilot program had us put in place on 6 of Oregon's more popular fishing rivers, including the Rogue, North Sandy Am, Sandy, Umpqua, Salmon, and Crooked River. We put 26 stations on those rivers, stations very similar to what you see here on my right. Even in the short time that we've had the pilot program underway, it received very strong public support with numerous requests for the program's expansion to other rivers and other sites. And I don't know if there's any, if there was very little destruction or people harming these canisters. I'll let Ryan talk to that, but very little vandalism of the structures once they're put up. And we generally put these up at boat ramps or very areas where a lot of fishermen tend to come and go along a river. And I think right now, to date, our pilot program, the best way I can describe this is we have picked up about a pickup load of monofilament from the 26 stations. And if you think about how much monofilament that really, I mean, that is a lot of monofilament. And that's just from the 26 stations in the pilot program, pretty much mostly last year. Because of the real outreach to volunteers and the volunteer enthusiasm for the program, there's very minimal investment in placing these stations. This station here, the stations we put out on the river essentially cost about $206 in materials. And most all of that cost is donated by volunteers, and the labor to build these stations is also done by volunteers. The most investments in time to maintain and check stations and sort and clean the collected fishing line. Lastly, the department would say that the program could easily be expanded statewide with minimal cost to ODF&W. So to wrap up, in summary, this is a very positive program. It has met with a lot of enthusiasm by especially the volunteers who make this program work, and the department would have absolutely no problem in having this bill go forward and allowing this program to become statewide. Any questions on my prepared testimony? We can speak a little bit to the report if you'd like.
Ryan? I have a question, but I'd be happy to wait until Ryan is finished.
So actually, your cost per site is really $173. Because you buy primer and cement and a PVC saw, you use those over and over again, right?
Okay, Cremel, maybe I'll let Ryan speak to that, but essentially the cost per site would probably go from zero to $206, and anywhere in between. So,
and somewhere
Ryan,
in between.
Ryan, why don't you go ahead and cover a few highlights on the report, at least.
Sure. Thank you. Vice Chair Cremel, committee members, for the record, my name's Ryan Messmer. I'm the Recreational Fishery Program Manager for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I was responsible, as well as many STEP and district fish biologists and a host of volunteers, to implement this pilot program. What we did is basically, as a department, develop a packet of information and develop the design and operational criteria for this project. An important part of the pilot project was the evaluation and reporting, and that's what the report you have in front of you reports on. In order to get this out and evaluate its effectiveness, we took a look at a couple different aspects. One, in terms of evaluating the effectiveness of this program, there was an educational component as well as cleaning up the fishing line. Looking at the program, we wanted to figure out how well do these containers last at existing sites. That is, are they vandalized? Are they well, good, have good reception? There was only a couple instances when we had any vandalism at all, and that was with the sign. I don't know if these were sign collectors or were people who were in opposition to the program. Other than that, it's been very well received by the public. As far as the contents, the quality of the contents overall was pretty good. People put line in the line and tackle in the other ones. There were some locations that need to be modified, and there's some seasons that need to be looked at as far as angling seasons for fine-tuning this program. But overall, it was well received by the public. The other important aspect is how well did these stations do in getting line from the stream. The one thing is to have these full of line. The other one is how much line was there. So I asked the volunteers and our staff to do some surveys around these vicinities. And what they found is how these were operating is there are groups of anglers who are very responsible anglers. When these signs are out there and these stations are out there, they are the ones that pick up line. As far as the number of anglers that discard, to see if we've reduced that, that's a little bit more difficult to get at. But what we found is these stations are effective in reducing the amount of line in the immediate area. And we've had great public support for this. Numerous requests for expansion. Initially, I ordered extra signs to deal with the vandalism aspect, but those quickly went out the door as we put the multiple stations up along the rivers that were selected. Just recently, we had this program reviewed by our STAC committee. This is a Salmon and Trout Advisory Committee in conjunction with our STEP program, Salmon Trout Enhancement Program. They basically speak to a lot of the volunteers that were associated with this program. STAC reported that they have volunteers waiting to go on this program, very well received, and they think that this is a good fit for that volunteer program that we have. So we support this program as well with many volunteers.
Okay. Representative Dinkfeld, you had some questions?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Question and comment. I see on page 9 under recommendations that you say coordinate with SOLVE, adopt a river program. And I was just curious how you're pursuing that, because they received funding from the Marine Board to help with cleanups around the state, as you probably know. And I was just wondering if there's ways to also tie them into this program. And then the others were the watershed councils, and I don't see them listed here because, you know, we have over 90 watershed councils throughout the state that are doing cleanups or often doing surveys or restoration projects, and they could also be a partner in this, I think.
Vice Chair Cremel, Representative Dingfelter, the pilot program attempted to reach out to as many individuals as organizations as possible. With the limited amount that we had and the active volunteers of our STEP people, they basically took these on. With expansions of the program, it would be very easily to put this in other arenas such as watershed councils or partnership with the SOLVE, which has a very similar program. This particular program looks a little bit different because it just directs basically fishing tackle and gear, but as a program, it is very similar. expansion of this program, what we will do is work with those other entities and integrate this into that, their arenas. I would expect that we would see not only STEP actively involved, but all the watershed councils and a lot of other partners that we've yet to contact.
Great. Mr. Chair, I just want to add that I was around when this pilot project was being promoted, and I'm really supportive of it as a user of the rivers. I'm a kayaker. I can't tell you how many times I've almost been decapitated by fishing line. That I'm really pleased to hear that we're going to really try to expand this to other rivers. I think it's a great program. I commend Senator Atkinson for bringing it forward.
Vice Chair Cromwell, Representative Dingfelter, one of the good ways that this program would, integrate with SOLVE is SOLVE generally takes an approach and cleans up a wide section of the river. But what happens with that material generally, it's disposed of. Mm-hmm. This program could be integrated with that, and then we could, again, recycle those materials that are recyclable. So there is some common interest in these programs.
Great.
We'll pursue.
Thank you.
Any other Representative Tomei?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do you recycle a monofilament line?
Vice Chair Crummel, Representative Tomei, the line collected in the recycle bins is recycled through the Berkeley Corporation right now. Basically, we contacted the Berkeley Corporation, and they have this long-standing program that you see in many sporting goods stores. They give us a cardboard box that is self-addressed that we fill with the line. The line has to be clean and free of debris, so that a lot of the volunteer effort is cleaning the fishing line. You basically put it in the box, ship it to Berkeley. They recycle it along with other plastics into fish habitat structures. You see a picture of that in the handout. So basically, it's boxed and shipped to Berkeley Corporation, and they do the recycling.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. I don't have any questions. Oh, I do too have a question. I just thought of it, and that is, can this be expanded, do you think, over to the beach with regards to an issue that I've been working on with some constituents is the derelict crab pots that are left out. This is in the ocean, obviously. And then, you know, trollers and so on getting their lines caught in it, but the big thing is trying to figure out who the pots belong to and that sort of thing. But has there ever been any thought of running this kind of a program over on the coast with in the ocean?
Representative Crummel.
Or am I talking two completely separate issues here? Ah, okay. Maybe, and that's okay. Thank you very much.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have anyone else on the list. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 179? No, this is 410. I don't see anybody rushing to the table. So with that then... I'm going to. It's okay to do that? Is it okay with you guys if I close the public
hearing?
I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 410. And let's see. Sandy, is there anything else that we need to know about?
There is, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Committee members, we're going on a field trip on Friday. This Friday, the 29th, we are going to go to Portland to see the Combined Sewer Overflow Project, a.k.a. the Big Pipe. Reprieve from the speaker that we don't have to have a public hearing. So this will be just a field trip. We're looking to leave about 10:30 or 11. So what I will follow up with an email to everybody. But for those of you who will want to ride and then ride back, let me know because we'll need to rent a van for everybody because the folks that live in Portland may just want to opt to stay down there. We hope to be back here in Salem by 3. The City of Portland will be providing us lunch once we get down there. So please, when I send your email to your staff, if you would RSVP so we can make plans accordingly for travel and headcounts, that'd be great.
Okay.
That's this Friday?
This Friday, the 29th.
Is this in addition to the two-week two field trips that this committee's already taken?
Yes. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, it could be instead of one of them.
They'll be back here at 3.
The ending time, back here by 3.
He's got help.
It's just over the lunch at the tour. This is, Sandy, can I just add that, please, that for those who are not, and Representative Tomei and Representative Crummell, we're probably all very familiar with this project, but for those that aren't from the Portland area, this is a very, very long time frame. I suggested to Sandy that she email you the link to the City of Portland's website, but this is the combined sewer overflow. This is one of the projects the City of Portland is undertaking to make sure that the Willamette is cleaned up. That's costing ratepayers, those of us who live in the city, millions and millions of dollars, and they've been working on this for over a decade, the combination of projects. So part of it's in my district. It's a very exciting project. They've also, on the engineering aspects, it's a very unique project, and they brought in some experts from other parts of the world to work on this project. So I'm very excited that we're going to be going in before they fill it up. It will be filled up with sewer water at one point, but they're still under construction.
Thank you. Any other comments about that? With nothing else before us, then we will stand adjourned.